Chapter 58. Lyria. Europa. The flight ends not long after the storm abates. When we land, it's on an island dedicated to fishing and solar farming. The civilians exit first with some of the Black Owls. Apparently, they're taking their own submarine down to a different city in the deep. We're headed for the fabled Helicon, Athena's secret stronghold. Cassius finds me in the cargo bay mopping up vomit left by the motion-sick greens.
Lyria, I'm furious with you. All the latrines are filthy. You've been derelict in your duty.
What? You said I didn't have to keep cleaning the latrine soon as I could handle the stick.
And my word is my bond, he says. I flew the Archimedes on Io. My good lady, I mean this with all my heart.
That was not flying.
That was just not crashing. That you avoided a finale in the hard deck doesn't mean my latrine should be devoid of your affection.
He pinches my cheek.
Your face. It's a jape. I stab at him with the vomit mop. He takes it away faster than I can blink and stores it on the wall.
You're a condescending pricklick,
I say. Only to my favourites.
I blush when he winks at me.
You're staying up here then? I ask.
The Moses columns are offline. Can't get the Archie down easily. Anyway, it's best not to stash your getaway vehicle under the sea, and I'm not leaving my home unattended with all the salt, thieves and barbarians about. Don't look so worried. If the Obsidian come, I have a stealth ship.
When they come?
Right.
He eyes a few Black Owls unloading a crate.
Not sure I'd be welcome down there anyway. You kill one terrorist warlord.
He sighs, then frowns.
I have to ask, are you still intent on going after Volga?
I think so.
Even after seeing the Obsidian on Io, you're not afraid?
No.
I lie up at him.
Then you're mad, girl. Did you see those people? Did you see that hammer they hit me with? Me? That thing was meant to drive nails bigger than you. Huge hammer.
He has a point. He's taller even than Darrow, and has more muscle than all my brothers ever did put together.
Everyone saw the hammer, Cassius. You made us watch your feed.
Good. Then you know. This whole time Severo's been giving me shit for missing the war.
I don't love my people very much, but I do feel sorry that they had to face those Obsidians.
They're not like they used to be when I was your age.
He scratches his neck.
War isn't like it used to be. Used to have a modicum of civility. Point is, the idea of you having anything to do with those monstrosities makes me nauseous with anxiety. Swear to me, we will talk before you do anything stupid, or agree to anything stupid. Darrow is good at getting people to agree to do stupid things.
Like going to the dockyards of Venus.
I have never claimed to be a role model.
His concern makes me feel weird. Sad to leave him, I look back at the halls leading into the Archie. It feels a little like home.
Very well. I will seek your counsel prior to any bad decisions.
I spit in my hand and stick it out. He hates that, but he spits in his and we spit shake.
Good. Now get thee hence, foul ragamuffin. I hear the deep as gloomy and dour as a Mooney's sonnet. You won't want to miss it.
He hands me a tiny flask. I take it and give a little shake, feeling its contents slosh around.
Had to make sure it was good enough for your discerning palate, Cassius says.
I thank him and head down the ramp to join the others. I stop in the rain and jog back to him. He smiles, a little confused.
I say in a rush, what you did on Io, why you did it, it's just...
I look down, feeling stupid, knowing he doesn't need compliments from me.
I don't know. I just think you're a good man and you have a huge heart, and I don't think people say that enough. Just wanted you to know that I see it, Bellona.
For once, he doesn't have anything ironic to say. His eyes glitter and he bends, looks into my eyes, and kisses me on the cheek. I'm filled with an urge to protect him and his too fragile heart.
Go on now before I try to keep you, he says.
I catch up with Darrow and the others just as they descend the ramp to meet a new group of heavily armoured red troopers. They are tough, thick-necked men and women with buzzed heads, faces like a vagrant's heel, and big guns. They meet Chion with salutes. An orange man with a thin jaw and huge eyes grasps Chion's arm.
Ares fought. Athena fights, she replies.
He repeats the rite with Ori, with a little more flirtation. The pink seems nervous around her own people. If she was deep cover, I guess she would feel like an outsider among the daughters. She keeps glancing at Diomedes in worry. The orange whistles when he spies Darrow and Severo through the rain.
Honoured, Reaper, son of Ares, honoured. When the communique came through, well, I didn't believe it. Honoured.
His eyes narrow when he sees Sigurd, as if he thinks the man's hands should not just be bound behind his back, but chopped off completely. His most unusual response is reserved for Diomedes. He just starts laughing.
How the mighty have fallen!
He spits on the gold. Diomedes does not react, and the rain soon cleans the spit from his face. Par for the course. The man's expression of boredom is chiseled in stone. Don't think I've seen him emote once, except sometimes when he's looking at Ori when she can't see him. Movement on the horizon draws my attention away. I squint through the rain, just making out the lights of an island city, looming like a mountain out in the gloom. When I look back to the group, almost everyone has gone down a stairwell. Chion waves to me.
Any day now, lass.
I jog up.
You're the pilot, Lyria of Lagalus. Chion.
She extends a hand. It's half again as big as mine, and her grip punishes. I'm not really a pilot, I say, as I descend the stairs with her.
I saw, and I'm not really a soldier either,
she rumbles, entirely unconvincing.
Was that man the Cassius Obelona? Quite the gilded compliment the Reaper has.
He saved those kids and greens, I'll remind you, I say.
Aye. At the cost of half my men.
I'm sorry. She shrugs. You're a gas miner, yeah? From one of the floating rigs on Jupiter? I ask.
You a spilk spinner? A spider breeder? Ain't that what red lasses do on Mars? She replies.
They also sing, I say, and serve on the front lines.
Just right, lass. Just right. We're more than the utility they made us for, she says.
Astounded by any red who could or would go toe-to-toe with Obsidians, I'd wanted to meet Chion soon as she came aboard. Yet I find myself disliking her more with every passing second. We reach the bottom of the stairs and come out onto a submarine dock. We pass a dozen lightly armoured greys stacked in a heap, dead. The former guards of the Solar Island, it seems. A black and gold sea beast is emblazoned on their chest plates. Kayaxeres, I murmur.
What do you know about that monster?
Chion says. I shrug. He might be on the menu soon. The Dragon Eaters are coming. The submarine that awaits us is shaped like a wedge of Looney's cheese. I file after the others into a pressurized hold located at the top of the dense and heavily patched craft. It stinks from a legacy of rust, brine, and sweating bodies. Chion's troopers lock into harnesses in a row of crash seats bolted to the floor. There's enough for 100 passengers. My party takes the row on the opposite side of the hold. Darrow locks in Diomedes' harness before locking in his own. The bag he's carried with him rests on the floor by his feet. Darrow and Diomedes look comical in the small seats. Severo looks like he'd rather swim down than buckle himself into his seat. His anxiety is obvious. I take my seat next to Ori. She's just as nervous as Severo. Don't like submarines? I ask.
Never been on one, but I do try to embrace new things, she replies, her eyes on Chion.
You don't like her, do you?
I didn't say that.
I don't.
It takes all kinds to wage a war, she says. Could you imagine her entertaining guests in the Ra Court?
I can't imagine you there either,
I say.
She looks at me, struck.
Thank you.
I haven't time to answer before the orange barks for us to brace and the submarine plunges into the sea. The straps dig into my shoulders. My stomach leaps into my throat.
Down we plummet. The hull creaks as pressure builds.
Severo looks like he's going to throw up. Darrow yawns. I try to channel his calm.
Passing through twilight, the captain soon intones. Midnight ahead.
Ori's fists clench and I reach for her hand. She opens it for me and breathes a little easier. By the time I twist in my seat to look out the small porthole, the twilight level of the ocean is behind us. Scum and darkness withhold most of the midnight level's mysteries, but soon bright fauna and fish glow in the pitch water. They stretch like veins of blue, gold and green fire. Ori tells me that they are drawn to this level by the warm waters of the level's jet stream and swim in schools kilometres long. By the look in her eyes, I know it's the first time she's seen the wonders of this ocean too. The Ra home where Cassius was prisoner must have been on the surface, I surmise.
Entering the abyssal zone, the captain says.
Beyond the warm waters lies a vast darkness, where not even the outlines of the beasts who call it home can be seen, as we go down, down, down toward Athena's domain. The submarine groans from the pressure. The darkness becomes impure. Light glows faintly in the distance. Soon the lights are bright and cast a blue-white haze over the variegated walls of subaquatic cities that sprout from the dark stone core of Europa's underworld. I sigh. It looks magical and gloomy and weird. Somewhere within the core of the moon, Athena waits with the key to save Mars. Yet I cannot stop thinking of those on the surface. Will she really leave them to die? The submarine's engines come alive as we near the ocean floor. Still, Ori doesn't take her hand from mine. The captain guides us into the mouth of a trench lined with metal dock doors crusted over with giant deep-water barnacles as big as cows. There are no barnacles on the gun installations nearby. A hatch yawns open on one of the installations and three dark projectiles slither out. They disappear behind us, bound for some distant danger. We're entering into a war within a war, a story that's been going on as long as I've been alive. I glance at Cheon, at Ori, at Darrow. He's yawning again. So is Diomedes. Severo has finally stopped squirming. The submarine glides into an open dock and settles into a rack that lifts it from the water with a rattle and a groan. Ori lets go of my hand. I stretch my legs and wait for my seat safety straps to unlock. Through the porthole, I glimpse movement outside the ship. Shadows moving on a dim dock. My eyes adjust quickly, and a chill creeps down my spine. The shadows carry something in their hands. Manacles. It's a big set. And then another. And another. I turn back around to see Severo struggling to keep his eyes open. Diomedes yawns even more deeply than Darrow this time. They both blink like they're trying to stay awake.
Darrow! Something's wrong! I shout. They got chains out there!
Darrow doesn't react except to turn and look at Cheon and raise his eyebrows.
It doesn't have to be like this, he says.
She stares back at him and taps her bionic nose.
You know, I can smell a musky man at 100 paces and tell you the colour of his last shag, but I still can't smell saronocene gas. Can you?
He does not answer.
This brand's made for golds.
No,
Severo slurs and begins thrashing at his straps like a caged animal.
No, don't fight,
Darrow murmurs.
Severo, don't fight them.
Cheon, what are you doing?
Ori asks. She struggles with her seat's restraints.
Athena's will.
Chion stands. The heavy red stand with her. Their armor flickers alive as their generators whir up. I pull the release hatch from my straps. Nothing happens. I pull again, and the straps contract, cinching me to the chair. Several gurgles in rage. I pull my pistol, only to have Ori claw at it. No, she says. The gun falls to the floor. Out of reach. Lyria, don't. Chion, these are our friends. I'm slim enough to slip down through the restraint of my seat and pin the pistol between my feet. I flip the pistol back into my lap and it hits the restraint and nearly slides off. I grab the pistol and point it at Chion. Something hard and metal slaps the back of my head. I see black spots. My brain aches. I can't get out of my straps. What is happening? Chion grabs Darrow by the hair and sniffs him. He stares back, groggy. I've lost the pistol. Ori is shouting, telling her to stop, calling for Athena. Another red is opening the bag at Darrow's feet. He hollers to the others and lifts up a black helmet with a grunt. Chion shakes her head.
Thought I might smell a bit of the old red on you.
Chion rasps to Darrow.
But you're all gold now. A red would know some debts just can't be forgiven.
She clocks him in the face with a steel gauntlet.
The sons you betrayed had husbands. They had wives. They had children and grandchildren.
She hits him again. His head lulls. Ori somehow slipped her restraints. She has the pistol. She points it at Chion and fires over her head. Chion hits Darrow again. Ori fires the gun again. Ori is so angry she's crying.
This is not who we are. What are you doing?
Chion turns, licks her lips.
Seems it wasn't just Thara who had this little pink on her back.
A voice comes from the door.
Chion, what are you doing?
Chion stops. The door to the submarine is opened, and the thick-set woman enters wearing a black spiked helmet and a simple black jumpsuit. Heavy braids of dark red hair fall to her mid-back. Her dark arms are muscular and tattooed with white ink. The troopers part. Athena. Chion looks down, ashamed.
Get out,
Athena says. Chion mumbles an apology.
Get out! Turn in your weapons. Report to the sanctuary.
Ori is right. This is not who we are. Chion obeys. Athena walks up to Ori and slowly helps her lower the gun.
Ori, we finally meet, my bravest daughter.
She kisses her forehead.
I thought you were lost in the core. I should have known better. Well done.
The pink falls to her knees, quaking.
No, no, we never kneel, daughter, least of all you. You have brought me all I asked for and more, far more.
You bitch! We trusted you!
I snarl at Ori.
What is this?
Athena turns her helmet. Its glowing red eyes bore into me.
Justice at last.